Hey, Saucy But Sweet fam. This week, we will be talking about something I'm sure every single one of you can relate to. Think about your favorite artist. It can be a singer, actor, someone you fell in love with the moment you heard them sing that song or act in that film that really changed your life. There's something special about connecting with someone who may be from a completely different world, but yet still seems to just get you. Life can be lonely, so it's easy to fall in love with someone's look, their essence, the way they just seem to make everything better. I'm a fan, you're a fan, we're all fans of someone. Personally, I'm a huge fan of Issa Rae. When Issa dyed her hair light brown, so did I. When I watched Insecure, it made me want to travel to LA, which I did a few times. And recently, I even gave myself the similar haircut that Issa had during season one of Insecure. My day ones of this podcast know just how much Issa and her artistry mean to me. There's nothing wrong with being inspired by someone we don't know personally. But we all know those who may take things a little too far, whether it's finding out where their idol is going to be and showing up everywhere, or going back and forth online to shut any critic down. If you're like me and intrigued by society's obsession with celebs and artistry and the ride or die mentality of fan bases, stick with us. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. I'm so excited to have Bianca Rosenberg joining us today. Hello, Bianca. Welcome, welcome. This is your first time on the podcast. So first, I want to ask if you could introduce yourself for those who don't know you. You know, what is your passion? What are you currently achieving right now?
My name is Bianca Miranda Rosenberg. Gotta give the whole name. I am originally from New York.
Hey.
And I majored in journalism, so I have a passion for all things TV, news, storytelling, documentary film. And yeah, I mean, I'm an avid TV watcher, streamer, I guess you could say. I love music. So yeah.
Now, you know, as my listeners know, I love bringing on guests who have passions, and whether or not they're achieving exactly what they want as of now, it isn't the point. You know, it's just, I love to give listeners a chance to hear about my guests' passion and missions in society and get to know them as a person. And literally every guest I has on have been like amazing. And I'm so happy you're a new friend of the podcast. So yes, thank you for coming on.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to talk to you. I have heard a few episodes and you always have really good conversations, so I'm excited.
And so speaking of passion, a ton of people are passionate about celebs and artists like Beyonce, Rihanna, Taylor Swift. I remember back when I was in middle school, a ton of girls, not me, but a lot of my friends had Bieber fever. There are the Swifties for Taylor Swift, the Bayhive for Beyonce. Right now I'm on this Bad Bunny Rosalia wave. Like, I don't think I'm like crazy extreme. Like, I'm not gonna like kill anyone for them, but like, I respect them and I really wanna go see them perform in person. But I also don't wanna spend the money. So what is the fan base that you're a part of right now?
I would say I'm part of like the whole Dreamville fan base. I've loved J. Cole ever since high school. I was one of the fans that like, you know, would try to get on his Dollar in a Dream tour and try to visit him when he went to different colleges and things like that. And yeah, I've been a fan of the whole camp, Boz, Kaz, and Ari Lennox, who's a recent person that I've been like really following just because I feel like we're getting to know her personality a lot more. But yeah, I would say, I've never been a true fanatic of anyone, even Beyonce. I don't want the Beehive to come for me, but yeah, I growing up, I just never had that like infatuation with Beyonce, but I did love her. I did think that she was an amazing performer and she made amazing music with Destiny's Child. But yeah, I was never a fanatic for anyone until I would probably say high school and I started listening to the whole Dreamville camp.
Yeah. Shout out to Ari Lennox and her last album, man. If you're single and black,
a black woman and you're single, that album is for you. Mm-hmm. Okay? I feel like she's talking to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Every single song you could relate to. And it was really written in the voice of like a millennial, you know, growing up, you know, trying to make friends, trying to, you know, find people to date online and stuff like that. The internet age of dating. And while it has a lot of like humor and it's a lot of the songs are really funny. They're so true, you know, and it was just a good album, really good album.
Yeah, and anyone, you know, who's done dating apps in the last year, again, single black woman on dating apps, listen to POF, Plenty mm-hmm. of Fish, her song, because it is a cesspool, okay?
Oh, yeah.
No matter what race you are.
Infested.
I told my friends, you ain't seeing me on Hinge ever again. I mean that. No. Yeah, so my next question was going to be if you've ever taken your obsession of, you know, of celebrity too far, but it sounds like you haven't, right? You love these people, but it's not like, you know?
Yeah, no, I haven't. No, I've never taken it too far. I knew people that would wait for people outside of their hotels that would, you know, track them on Twitter. And I didn't even know that was a whole thing. I had a friend of mine show me how, like, different fans will, like, talk to other fans. And, you know, they're all part of the super fandom. And they'll meet up at the celebs' hotels just hoping that the person will walk out.
Oh, my God.
I've never been at that level. I don't think I've loved anyone that much. But yeah, I mean, there, and a lot of the times there are like success stories. I remember this one TikToker was talking about how she met Rihanna so many times that they eventually became kind of like good friends.
What?
They like meet up like, you know, every couple of years and catch up and stuff like that. But yeah, it's interesting to see how people build relationships, or, you know, it could also tear it down too. So it depends on what kind of fan you are and how respectful you are, I guess.
Yeah, like I can't see Rihanna still talking to that person if that person was like, ah, oh my God, I love you mm-hmm. so much. Like crazy. Like if it's a person that's like, I really respect your work and I'd love to get to know you. Like you're a great person, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like, it reminds me of like how hip hop journalists connect with artists. A lot of times, like they're fans of these artists, but it's not in a creepy way. It's in a way of like, man, I'm writing about you for this paper or whatever. And I really just want to get to know you. I really mm-hmm. like, but, and there's this friendship that's genuine that might come from that. But I think, you know, it's very weird. And you know, and it's like, I know when I was a kid, like, I know that feeling of being so obsessed where it's like, and I could see that scaring someone. Like, I think mm-hmm. I was a terrifying kid. If you think about how I loved Chris Brown.
Not terrifying.
No, but not with everyone. I was only terrifying with Chris Brown because mm-hmm. I wanted to have his children. Okay. His children.
That I was in love with him. Babies.
Crazy. I hated Rihanna. I was like, I hate Rihanna because she's with my man. She's like, uh-huh. I was, not you're a kid, so it's cute, you know.
Yeah.
But as an adult, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but
no, as a kid, crazy. It's like. Yeah, we all had that phase, I think, because I loved Chris Brown. I had his first album, Double Deluxe. Okay, I got it for Christmas. And I had the poster on my wall.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, yeah, he was probably like the first person that I actually was a fanatic of, now that I think about it. And even then, I wasn't like crazy about it. Like I had to know every single detail about Chris Brown and, you know, I had to know who he was dating and where he was touring and stuff like that. But yeah, I was a big fan of him. I still listen to his first album, arguably my favorite and the best out of all his music. But
yeah, there's something. He put something in the water with little black girls because that wasn't just me. It was one of my best friends at the time. She was too. She was like, I hate Rihanna because she's with my man. We were both, everyone in the school thought we were insane. Insane. and I'm surprised my mom didn't like put me in therapy. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny though, because that's kind of the culture I was growing up in, you know? And now it's, I think it's way worse because now we have social media. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. all the stuff I was saying was just in school. you know, or to my parents.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's Twitter and it's Instagram and mm-hmm. it's just a lot. And Chris Brown was my first concert.
Mm-hmm.
I forced my dad to pay for my first concert to go to see Chris Brown.
I love that.
Let me tell you, I screamed so loud, I had no voice at the end of the night. No voice. Mm-hmm. It was gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that I think that's, like, a beautiful, like, first concert experience, too. Because, like, that was an era. Like, that was truly an era, like, of a Scream Tour, literally Scream Tour of, like, you know, all of these boy bands and, like, amazing teen acts at the time. That was a time. What a time to be alive. I didn't get to see any of those shows, but because I was a sheltered Caribbean kid, but...
Yeah, it was really special, and as of now, I don't have much respect for Chris Brown just because of the things that have bothered me over the years and things I've heard, the toxic, you know, behavior and such, mm-hmm. but I look back at that as smile, that back when he was more innocent, he was young, he was a kid himself, you know, what, was he 16 when he started? Mm-hmm. So just an innocent 16-year-old boy living his dreams and women like, girls like me, being like, oh my God, and he was hot. Oh, hot as hell, you know, and I had a thing for Taylor Lautner from Twilight back when I was, I'm not ashamed to say it, I was obsessed with Twilight, all of that, like, I was on that train, but I think as I got older, I'm more calmer, right, because I'm like, these people are just human beings, and I think the problem is when mm-hmm. we get older and we still don't get to that point where it's like, they're human, you know, they're gonna make mistakes, no, you should not mm-hmm. be in their hotel room. No, you should not. Like things that you shouldn't do, I feel like some grown people don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
We have, like, an obsession, you know, with these people. And, you know, I know you've seen Swarm. To all my listeners out there, it's a TV show on Amazon Prime, limited series. And let me tell you, if you haven't watched it, it's a show about a young Black woman's obsession with a Beyoncé type of celeb, Nyjah. And instead of living a normal life, she basically spends the show hunting down anyone who's spoken badly about Nyjah. And she actually kills them. So unlike, like, regular normal people who might just, like, want to follow them or want to know where they are and say hi, she, like, well, she believes that she's this pop star's friend. Mm-hmm. And is like, I'm her best friend. And if you talk bad about her, I'm going to murder you. And I think everyone in this generation needs to watch it, because I don't think it's literally saying that's what we all do. It's just saying that This is an exaggerated version of the culture already, right? And so what were your thoughts when you watched this show? And what were your thoughts going in?
When I first saw the preview, I said, you know, I don't know. I meet everything with skepticism at this point, because I just feel like there's just not a lot of good writing right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Like, you know, we've had The Insecures and The Last of Us. That was, like, my latest obsession aside from Swarm. But yeah, I met it with skepticism, because I was like, they have, like, Chloe Bailey. Is this kind of like a grab for people, you know, by putting, like, you know, people that we know and love, artists that we know and love in the show?
Yeah.
And then I watched the preview again and I was like, let me see what this is, because I really love Dominique Fishback. I think she's an amazing actress. She's been in a lot of works that you know, ended up being really amazing.
Amazing.
And so I said, okay, I'm going to watch it. So I watched the first episode and I'm like, okay, kind of predictable. Like, this is what I thought it was going to be. And then it took a turn, and I think we all, like, kind of felt that moment of, like, you know, not to spoil anything, but there is a moment where she has, like, a psychotic break, and you're like, wait, what? That's not where I thought this scene was gonna go. And mm-hmm. then it just spirals. It spirals the whole season.
Yeah.
I think it was, like you said, it's not literal. I mean, it could be literal in this day and age, but it's not literal. But it's also not, like, it's not far-fetched, you know? Like, mm-hmm. when you see the way a lot of these fans interact with each other, with people online, and the way they rally for the artists that they love, you can see the same level of, like, rage and obsession and infatuation. So, yeah, it's not far-fetched. attached, and that's a scary thought. That's honestly a scary thought.
Yeah.
But I thought it was well written, and I thought that it had a lot of good points made, you know? And although I was also scared about the alignment of it, you know, being related to the Beehive and like, how are they going to represent Beyonce and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Even though everything was left kind of like, you know, up to the imagination, I guess, it made sense. Like, it made sense for this type of character, this person. It's an idea that I haven't seen before. Maybe I just live under a rock, but I've never seen, like, I guess, a fan-obsessed type of TV series like this one.
Yeah. Yeah, and nothing good comes out of being obsessed. You know, like, that obsession is such a, like, you know the movie Obsession with Beyonce and Idris Elba? You know, it's just, like, nothing in that movie's, like, a thriller. I mean, it's crazy and it's really good. But, like, it's just come from, it's so dark. And you know, just like with Swarm, you know, I learned that with age, there's something really dark about putting all your energy to pop stars you don't even know. Someone you don't even know. You drop everything at the tip of a hat, you know. You spend $1,000-something on a ticket that could go to rent. You know, we out here broke, but we spending money on this. And, like, our livelihood's revolving around someone. You know, it's just a crazy thought the older I get. Which is why I haven't actually been to a concert in a really long time. Because I'm just like, do I want to spend my money on this? Or do I need to put that money here? You know, because I can still be a fan and listen to you and stream your music without just like being like, okay, I'm just going to go to everything that they do. No. Yeah, it's just interesting to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene, that one scene where she literally drops $1,800 and you just think about like literally just like, what, 2 months ago, everybody was like, either they had a little savings that they, you know, had accumulated for the Beyonce tickets, or they were literally like, oh, well, something's going to have to, I'm going to take Peter to pay Paul because I need to go to this Beyonce concert. Like, I saw that scene and I was like, yeah, that's perfect timing. And to think that, like, you know, this was probably written like 2-3 years ago and it's like still true right now. it's just funny to see.
Yeah, isn't the Beyonce's Renaissance tour like crazy expensive, right? Like people were like, can I pay rent? Or am I gonna pay rent or go to Renaissance? I'm like, rent.
Literally. Rent. Literally. Yeah, yeah. People that are going, I consider them really lucky because I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, I'm poor. Like, that is literally how much I gotta pay for rent next month. Like, that's not a sacrifice I can make.
That's rent money, $1,800? In New York? Are you kidding?
Yeah, no.
And Beyonce's gonna go home in a beautiful, nice mansion, and your ass gonna be out in the street because you want to see Renaissance. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense. And I love that was a scene because we saw that even the sister asked the main character, she's like, you have rent money? And Dre was like, no, but we got tickets to the concert. The sister's like, what?
yeah.
You know, and I just also feel like we put so much pressure on artists to, like, be what we want them to be. And I'm not sure what the answer is, but, like, is it possible for us to idolize these people? Well, I know it is, actually. It's definitely possible to idolize people from a safe, less extreme place where, you know, because I feel like a lot of times we're obsessing over them and this, like Dre's crazy obsession and wanting to kill people. Like, to be honest, like, I don't think it really has to do with Nydra. I think it's just that something's wrong with you. Like, it could be anything. Yeah. People could latch on to anything. But, like, you pick this person for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a question that I asked myself because I was like, is it just about Nydra? And I was like, no, it's not. Because you can see the way that she treated her sister or friend. I don't really know. I looked online to see what Chloe Bailey was to her. And I think it was like a foster sister. I'm not really entirely sure.
Oh, yeah, she was a sister.
But yeah, the way she treats her sister, the way she treats Chloe is also very obsessive. And like you can see it in the way when Chloe speeds off and she's like, can you just leave me alone for a minute? Like Chloe felt like she couldn't breathe. So I think she had an obsessive personality.
Yeah.
And it's definitely psychological. Like, you know, she's has some struggles with some mental illness that just makes her latch on to people in a very unhealthy way. Yeah. So I definitely think Speaking to like what you said about like, is there a healthy way to love people? And there definitely is. I think it all comes back to respect.
Yes.
I see so many, especially with like fanatics, who will get angry at artists. Again, people they don't even know if the album doesn't come out, right? Like, that was the whole thing with Chloe. Like, they're like, yes. Oh, Chloe keeps saying she's going to put out this album and it hasn't come out yet, right?
Yeah.
They actually end up bullying the artist. They bully the artist. They say, you know, this should have dropped, and where are the visuals for this? And, you know, there's a difference between saying like, oh, I'm so excited to see Beyonce's visuals, and why hasn't Beyonce put out the visuals, you know?
Like, she owes it to you.
And essentially taking away the autonomy from the artist to do things the way that they're able to do it. You know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, whether it's creatively or, you know, organization wise, maybe the label they're at is stalling the project or whatever the case may be. People did the same thing to Normani. Like, the list goes on and on. Like, there's always someone that, you know, the internet is choosing to bully. Yeah, it comes down to respect.
Yeah.
Allowing that artist to make the decisions in a way that makes sense for them, and then still be able to put out a really good product that they're proud of and not something rushed just because the public is waiting or virality is dying down and they gotta, you know, rush to throw something together.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, they don't owe you anything.
Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and live your best life? Are you tired of feeling stuck in your career, relationships, and your day-to-day routine? It all begins with you. In order to give your best, you have to become your best self. Stop living by default and create the life you want. I remember when there was a time where I felt like I had no control over my life, and the best life coach / relationship coach to help me put my life back together is Odette Godonel. If you are a hardworking, independent, successful woman who lacks energy, focus, and direction, feels overwhelmed, stressed, and anxious, thinks there is never enough time, puts yourself at the bottom of your priority list, feels a lack of connection in your marriage or relationship, or feels stuck and afraid of change, Odette can help. You don't have to keep struggling, and you don't have to figure it out alone. Odette has found the tools to learn how to stop living by default and start creating the life and the relationship that she wanted, and helped countless clients do the same. With her help, you can learn to reignite the spark within yourself, improve connection, intimacy, and fun in your marriage, have the best relationship possible with your partner, have more harmony, satisfaction, and joy in your relationship, improve communication and conflict resolution, increase your self-confidence, self-love, and self-worth, prioritize what really matters and set boundaries, and have goals, habits, and actionable steps that lead to results. If you're tired of living your life on the sidelines, visit www.odettecodonel.com. That's www.odettecodonel.com. You'll thank me later.
So bad for people like Selena Gomez and a lot of, you know, Taylor Swift, I guess, from years before, I guess, when she was like with Harry Styles and such. I know she was bullied a lot from his fans, and any man that she's with who maybe there'll be rumors about, they'll attack him. Selena Gomez is still dealing with the effects of like that Justin Bieber relationship, where now she's connected to Justin Bieber for life. People will not let it go, and now his new wife is getting bullied. Like, it's like now artists have to keep their lives personal for real, because if not, who they date and who the, you know, their children, whatever, will also be up for grabs. And I think that's when the fandoms take it too far, when now they're entering the personal life.
It all
could be based on rumors too. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah, society has definitely opened up a can of worms, because in the internet age, the accessibility that people think that they have to people, and realistically do because of locations and different, you know, ways that we can use the internet, it has been weaponized. Like in the early 2000s, I mean, we did get a glimpse of it through tabloid media, but there was still essentially a sense of mystique. You didn't know, you know, every single thing about this person,
yeah.
And, you know, where they went to high school and, you know, all of these things. Like, you didn't necessarily know unless they divulged that information, unless they did an interview, unless they went on 106 and Park or, you know, MTV and, or, you know, even MTV Cribs, but even that was fake. A lot of those episodes were fake. So, yeah, there was a mystique.
Wow.
There was a mystique.
Yeah, I didn't know MTV Cribs. I didn't know they had fake.
Yeah, so a lot of people either rented houses on MTV Cribs. Like, if you look on YouTube, there's some artists talk about it. Some, super fans have, like, you know, just found out the information. I don't know how. I guess the beauty of the internet.
Wow.
But, yeah, if you go on there and just look up, like, you know, which episodes were real, some people talk about it. But, yeah, some artists rented houses. They rented cars. Just for that one episode.
Wow.
And I'll never forget, there was the Red Man episode, which is like one of the most popular ones, because this guy was essentially living in a normal house and people were shocked about that. Like, I think he was living in Staten Island at the time. And yeah, they did an MTV Cribs and his apartment literally looked like a normal, like, you know, just like everyday Joe Schmo. And in fact, it was quite dirty. It was quite messy. But like, he owned that. He was like, yeah, this is my crib. This is where I actually live. This is where I really live.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo, I remember I loved JoJo. She was one of my favorite artists at the time too. Still now. And she, I think she used her aunt's house, I believe, because at the time she was essentially homeless. Like, she didn't have... she hadn't bought a home yet. She was
now
just,
listeners
you know,
know
coming off the rise of
and I
think it was Baby. I don't remember at the time what song was out, but Baby It's You. She also didn't have like this grand house to show on it on her episode of MTV Cribs, so she showed one of her family members' houses. So yeah, it at the time it was like they artists let you know what they wanted you to know, not, you know, what we researched and like sleuthed and found out.
That's crazy. I used to love MTV Cribs too. That was like my favorite growing up. Some good tea. Yeah, thank you. As I was thinking about this episode and talking about all the ways that I think that society has gone mad with the celebrity and all that, you know, I actually feel like, wait, there's actually been some good with celebrity obsession. Hold on before you judge. Britney Spears and the Free Britney movement. That was from fanatics. I mean, people who you would consider just, oh my God, are they crazy? They are the reason why she was able to have some sort of a voice, right? They gave her a voice, and the end of conservatorship happened. They fought for her when she wasn't able to fight for herself. She didn't have the, you know, whether the confidence, maybe, you know, I know she battled mental illness. A lot of things were going on with her. And they didn't stop for years.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Free Britney movement.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I remember I think it was one of the New York Times journalists talking about how special this was, because conservatorship is something that is very hard to fight legally, especially for young people that are under conservatorship, which is also a rare thing in and of itself. So yeah, to see those fans spearhead the movement and like stand outside the court, you know, during all of those court hearings and looking into legal documents. I mean, they were internet sleuths. They were really, you know, looking up the legal jargon and trying to get her representation and getting advocacy groups to really fight for her, because there are a lot of like older adults who don't have that and fall into conservatorship and never get out and essentially get robbed and, you know, their mental health ultimately suffers. That was a good result of obsession.
Yeah, that really did come from obsession, because I know Britney Spears was someone that a lot of, this was the Backstreet Boys time, this was NSYNC time, everyone was obsessed with them. And I know that paparazzi, and this is another conversation for another day, but paparazzi, which is, I think people are definitely standing up to them right now, and definitely I see things changing with how paparazzi, you know, follow these celebrities and such, I do think there's changes and there's progress. But I know that a lot of people who were obsessed with Britney at the time, like, she was getting terrible coverage for years and years as she was going through a mental breakdown. And I love that the people, some of the fans who were, like, obsessed, stood up for her and defended her. And so now we can talk about, like, you know, covering women who are maybe battling mental illness, like Amanda Bynes, for example, like, covering these women with dignity, covering these people with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think these obsessed fans could actually start that conversation. You know, like, maybe from this place that we're in, we can start that, we can really progress. And I think that would be amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's important. Amanda Bynes was another person that I loved, you know. She's in a lot of my favorite movies, you know, What a Girl Wants. And She's the Man. I think it's She's the Man. Or Yeah, She's the Man.
Yeah, She's the Man. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, she was so iconic and so... I have a love for her that's like, I don't want to see her, you know, she should be enjoying the fruits of her labor. You know, she spent a lot of her young years. Yeah. I mean, I think she started at, like, you know, below the age of 12. So she's really fought for this career and really worked hard. And it's tough to see somebody who's worked so hard not be able to really enjoy it and just have fun, you know, and retire peacefully or, you know, whatever the hell she wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it was insane. You know, I'm so sorry that she's, you know, battling this mental illness. So it's so severe for her, you know, and it's really tough to watch anyone. Britney Spears is going through it. So many other, Lindsay Lohan went through a rough time. And it's just nice that fans stick by them and respect them, right? You know, respect, as you were saying before. It's just with respect. And also, I want to say one thing, too. The Kardashians, they're celebs that actually want you to be obsessed with them. So there are, even though I'm talking about how society's gone crazy, there are some celebs like Kim Kardashian and Kylie who, I mean, they get money from it, right? Your obsession. Like, the more you like their stuff, the more, you know, and they're a whole nother. That's a whole nother episode, too.
yeah I mean there's a whole deep hole that you can go into about people who orchestrate PR stunts, and I mean the Kardashians are just one example of, like, celebrities that have done that repeatedly, allegedly, over the years. So
and now somebody's dating the most popular artist in the entire planet, Bad Bunny. Shout out to Bad Bunny.
Just casually.
Yeah. Shout out to Bad Bunny. But I'm like, that's not, you know, that's not a coincidence. But, by the way, shout out to all my Latina friends. They are pissed. All of them. Mm-hmm. I don't have one Latina friend that's not mad as hell. So, shout out to them right now.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, but yeah, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. Come back anytime. You know, you're always welcome. So we can talk shit about celebrities and talk more about Swarm.
Oh my God. I love talking shit. Yeah. I mean, the stuff that I love, music and TV and stuff like that, like, I could talk all day. So yes, hit me up. Let me know what you got planned. I love this.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.